It's a $14 billion business with a narrow line. It's not Unix. It's not good. It's not VAX. It's not VMS. It ain't much of anything. And the customers aren't happy. And it doesn't connect PCs nicely. It doesn't have anything. It does have scientific marketing, not computer science marketing. The difference is if you say, I'm learning, I'll try this approach. Doesn't work, I'll learn and try another one. From that, I'll learn and try the next one. And I think when the study is done with AS400, we will learn that in the traditional approach of science, IBM cleaned our clock with a piece of junk. Because they used all the traditions of science. Science is open to new ideas. Back when I went to school, there was a lot of books being written, have been written over the history, about the conflict between Christianity and science. And it's interesting. Most of it was nonsense. They both say the same thing about ideas and learning, and there's a tendency in both cases to become very unscientific and very not looking for truth. And we're guilty of this religious attitude to marketing. If I say something is right, that's got to be that way. That's the religious approach. Shouldn't be the religious approach either, but it is. You say we're learning, we'll try many things. When you have all the assets we have in VAX VMS, the enormous assets. And the world out there is just overwhelmed with a need for VAX VMS. We're limited only by our approach. Are we in charge of this religion and we pass on the word? Are we the Ayatollah who passes judgment? Or are we looking for the truth? In scientific marketing should be searching for that truth. Last time we went into the new management system in detail. Question is, would a new management system solve this problem? Well, there's two answers to that one. One says yes, because I promise everything with a new management system. The other answer is, management systems don't really solve problems. They identify them. We won't go into the new management system in much detail today. But in general, the results are magnificent. There's been a revolution in thinking. Some people are dismayed. They thought they were doing a good job, and suddenly they realize that relative profits, they're in trouble. Some people are devastated, and they should be. Other people are suddenly grabbing hold of something. They knew they were wrong just spending money without any goals, and they're having fun with it. And people are coming up with entrepreneurial ideas. And the whole company is changing. The sales department, above all, is changing. Some people say, my goal is just to get orders regardless of what it costs the company. New management system, their goal is to make profit. the new management system is for them to pass judgment on themselves. It's not a measurement system for them to get rewards. They demonstrated Monday to the board of directors the computing systems to run the sales department. It was awesome and impressive, you know, really grabbing hold of people. Sales department often suddenly realizes that instead of being short of people, they have surplus people. They're looking at it as a business. We need a lot less people suddenly. The story I told you before, a couple of years ago, is coming true. I visited Indianapolis office, and they said to me, "Can't make field service stay here, they're moving out." The salesman wanted field service nearby. I said, "Why are they moving?" They said, "They want to go to cheaper space." See, they were always run like businesses. I said, "Suppose you were run like a business and had to make a profit. You could spend the money on space or on help." They said, "We'd move too." Guess what's happening? Salespeople are moving. See? When there's no measurement, they want a building they can show their wife. "I work there," or "I run that office. Look at the lobby." Now they go home and say, I ain't making profit, dear." She says, "Honey, why are you laying awake?" She says, "It doesn't all fit together yet, see?" And in general, people are happier. See? It's not, for a professional person, it's not a happy life to know you're not really contributing. And it's changing the company. We still got a few changes to go. Part of the system said, clearly said, that we separate out the generation of the product from the market and from the selling. The product people, being good computer scientists, say we're the only ones that understand the market and the marketing and the selling, and we got to make all the pronouncements about marketing, and we ain't going to let it go. I'm going to win eventually, see? So the one part that isn't done in the marketing system is the product people are still hanging on to dear life to that marketing, because being good computer scientists and Ayatollahs, they have to make the pronouncements about the marketing. They don't have to be scientific. But we'll get there, see? You see, in the accounting system, the price of the hardware or software, the product, is separated. And separate from that is all the marketing costs. That includes ACTs and DCCs and literature and all the things to help the sales department. And then separated out is the selling cost. Tradition was the computer scientists ran the engineering and hid in there all their attitudes about marketing and limitations. We haven't yet separated it. But I promise that when we do, that marketing will stand there. Someone's going to have to live with that and prove he's scientific. Now, we're doing several things. One of the things we're doing this year in the budgeting is we're saying the first part of the budget, the part we discussed a little bit with the board on Monday, we're going to discuss in detail in June meeting, is that part of the budget which people are budgeting to spend in 92 for orders they get in 92. Sounds kind of obvious. That's the way we used to do it. We were kind of narrow-minded. Profit. People are developing that attitude now. The stock market stays low. Many of us lost an awful lot of money with the stock going down. We'd be kind of motivated. Although there's some principles are hard to let go, you know. We make a pronouncement, we don't let go easily. After that's all done, we'll say, now what are you investing off for the future? Up until now, the budgeting is, here's what I'm investing in the future. Oh, and by the way, we don't worry about today. In fact, we'll cut out things today if it's not consistent with the future. We won't invest today. And when we cut budgets, we cut them all equally, including today. Result is we don't get orders. The new budget question is, what are you spending today for today? It's kind of obvious, you know. May not be good computer science. And the board of directors has a surprisingly active interest in that question. With that, and with the assets we have, I think we'll do well. I'm getting sick and tired of the recession. It's one pain in the neck. I really hope it doesn't get over until we get this straightened out. The worst thing that could happen to us would be a swarm of orders. We'd never straighten out the rest of these things. We'd never straighten them out. Don't pray too hard for it to last long. Now, the vax is the business we have all the assets in. It's the business which we have no excuse for not stealing all $14 billion away from IBM, limited only by our creativity, open-mindedness, and dropping some of the principles we have, like, you know, we were the leaders in timesharing. We introduced it to the world. We owned it. We were the best by far. We gave it to IBM mainframes, the AS400s, and other things. We gave it to them. We said, it's obsolete. People want PCs now. Turns out it's still half our business. We've never had a marketing program because we say it's dead. By the way, in-house, you know, it's all our good computer scientists. When they run to their office, they go to their timesharing machine. They don't want to worry about a PC or a workstation. They want to get their work done on a terminal where the computer does all the work. Then they say it's dead. We have those assets. And I like humble goals, like all 14 billion of IBM's AS400 customers. They introduced computers to a lot of places. Now we ought to do it right for them. 14 billion has a good ring to it, you know. The other, I just say over and over again, the businesses we're in. You know, I said we're in the service business, the integration business, the VAX business, and the commodity business. The commodity business is exciting, and we've done some magnificent work there. We still have to make money. And we got a few knot holes to go through. We have ways of doing things that we have a terrible time to let go of. And we have goals that are contrary to the goals of making money. We have ways of measuring ourselves which are losers. And it's going to take us a while to get used to them. I bet most people think it's simple. But changing some of these ideas is hard. One of the ideas is we got to sell through all kinds of channels. And the goal at Digital is who can sell the most through outside channels? That is through OEMs and stores and dealers, and we got all kinds of initials. And the goal is to sell through them because there's some magic in there. I don't know what the magic is, but it's magic, see? It's a loser. It's a loser, see? It ain't in the numbers, see? And if you want to sell through channels, you can sell through channels. You ain't going to make profit. It's just not in the numbers. Now, that's going to take a long time to sink into people. See? For years, we say there's magic going through third parties. We've heard of other companies that sell through third parties. They make money. We don't know that, but we say that must be the secret. It's a loser. It's a loser to sell commodities to a third party. Clearly a loser. It's going to take us a long time to get through that knot hole. We'll lose money until we do. Let me explain why it's a loser. Very simple arithmetic. If you have a product that you sell through somebody else and you pay him 20, 30, 40% to sell it for you, you have raised the price to the customer 20, 30, or 40%. If you sell it directly to him by telephone, your price is 20, 30, or 40% cheaper. And in that market, where people buy large numbers of PCs or workstations, their interest in the reliability of the company, their interest in the quality of the product, their interest in the reputation, and after that, it is price. Can you imagine if you're the purchasing agent of a three-man shop? I used to be one of those, so I know how they think. I also was the purchasing agent of a fairly large company. I know how they think. If it's a commodity, you look at the price. If you're buying aluminum sheet, you say, what is the price per pound? And you don't say, I'll pay 40% more because there's a salesman comes by. Or I'll pay 40% more for this reason or not. No, you want 1,000 PCs if you're a big company, 10,000 if you're a very big company, or 2 if you're a tiny company. You rather call the company and say, I want that priced 40% less than the rest. People say, but there's magic in third parties. You give the 40% away and everything is perfect. We haven't proved that, you know. And it's a tough one to sell. It's a tough one to sell. But you see, we have these people we call marketers, and they believe in magic, not research or numbers. And we call marketers, and they say, there's magic in third parties. We've got to sell that way. By the way, we love OEMs. They are important to us. And I'm not saying negative things about third parties. There's a lot of work for them to do. But it is not in selling commodities by telephone. If our workstation is the cheapest, fastest delivery, the best service, the third parties will use ours, and the added services they'll make their money on. They will always buy the one that's the least expensive. Now, that's the commodity business. We announced our PCs yesterday in New York. It was a good show. It was fun. We had a good message. They asked the right questions. But the thing we were bragging about ain't going to win. We got the broadest line, and we got 1,000 people working on PCs. That's not the winning combination. Oh, and we sell to every channel. That's a loser, see. Don't tell the Globe. See, each one of those. Bragging about how many people you employ, that's not the commodity attitude. See? Bragging you got everything is not the commodity attitude. And bragging you give discounts to everybody and then they resell them, that's not the winning attitude. Winning attitude is we watch every penny. We got no marketing except almost none. We got almost nobody there that isn't absolutely needed, and we're most efficient. That's going to take us a while. You know, we're so used to saying, I'm paid by how, according to proportion, how many people work for me. But a manager's pay is to do the job well and right, which means sell it the way the customer wants it. And with commodities, he wants price. We pulled off a magnificent piece of politics, maybe. It should be much more positive word than that. I think Bill Strecker, Dom LaCava, Don Gabautz, and Jack Smith, and probably a lot of others, worked unbelievably hard to pull it off. You could not have dreamed of a better piece of strategy. And let me tell you about it. You read about it, but let me tell you what it means. It's called the ACE program. In the workstation business, it's quite divided. People have software written for their workstation, and you can't move it to the others. People come in and say, it's Unix, it goes anywhere, but my software won't play anyplace else. And we've done okay, but not great, because we didn't have all the software. We did have the fastest machine, we still didn't do well. Three people had a good part of the business: Sun, IBM, and Hewlett Packard. All different. What we did was get all the others, all those in the business and all those getting into the business, together and decide on a set of standards so that all of us, there was 21 to start with, probably going to be 30 or 40 soon, everybody around the world, Japanese, German, French, all the PC makers, almost all the PC makers, have one set of standards. Now, to have compatible software, you know, traditionally compatible software came about because you wrote in a language. You wrote a program in software, and you wrote it in Fortran, or you wrote it in COBOL, you plug it in anybody's computer, and it worked. People bought our computers to write software for IBM. They'd write it carefully in language, make it work on the backs because it was nice and easy to use. When it worked, they just recompile it for IBM, and it worked there. Software was transportable. Two things have happened to ruin that. So much software now is involved in the human interface, the cathode ray tube, the mouse, the keyboard, the display, and windows and pictures. And everybody does all those things differently. And in so much of the software that just permeates every part of the software, and if you don't have exactly the same standard, it's a terrible chore to make the software transportable. The other thing that happened is that people now have the idea, maybe with our help, that they want to network everything together. And networking means you got to do everything perfectly in exactly the same way, and it takes a whole list of standards, unbelievably long list of standards, or networking doesn't work. Now, if you have 40 companies around the world all doing all these things differently, nothing is transportable. And the word Unix means nothing. That's where I use the word snake oil. I said, if you believe the word Unix takes care of all those details, you really believe in snake oil. It's still true. What we did was get all these people together and agree on a set of standards. And the standards were, of course, ours, almost. OSF, and we agreed on a set of standards. And that made it open. Now, openness means, however, and that's the definition we use when we say VAX is open. It follows the standards. And to us computer scientists, that's open. The world out there thinks openness means other things. They're wrong. But sometimes it doesn't make any difference. To them, sometimes openness means the machine you sell can be bought by somebody else, from somebody else. Sometimes it means you use the same buses so you can swap modules. To other people, openness means you can take the same piece of software from the computer store and plug it in different computers. Our definition is right. But the interesting thing about the ACE program is it meets all of those definitions. Each one of those definitions of openness, ACE meets. the software you take off the wall, buy it for so many dollars in the store, and you plug it in, and it works on all the ACE machines. It also means they have two standard buses. It also means that we've defined exactly the computer chip, and things are exactly the same, including all the networking interface standards. ACE does one more thing. It ties together the PC business and the workstation business. Both those are part of the ACE program. And the software that plays on the PCs will play on the workstations. The workstations, in addition, have our Ultrix operating system for the more sophisticated things. So what we pulled off, unbelievable considering the character of those people in that business and their lack of sophistication. Some of them make hardware for PCs. They don't never heard the word software, much less understand it. In the patience of Dom and Don and Bill and Jack, unbelievable. Oh, and they're all used to competing and hating each other. And getting them together, it was magnificent. Now, what we've accomplished is that now we have software that'll play everywhere. We've also solved one other pain in the neck problem. When you store, you know, computer information comes in bytes. One byte is a number or a character. And you, in a 32-bit word, you put four of those. And you can call up, everybody calls up whole word the same, but you put them in there different ways. You put the big N first, the little N first. And I can never remember the difference. It's so long ago we did this. We picked little N first long time ago. The textbooks did it our way, and I don't know if the textbooks did it our way because we picked it from the textbooks or we supplied the universities with computers and they wrote it down our way. But IBM went off the other way. It didn't make much difference. One thing computers can do is sort that sort of thing out. So we've always communicated with IBM and straightened that out. It was no problem. When PCs came along, Microsoft and Intel did it our way. They took a PDB-11, cut a big scissors around it, and made an Intel chip. Microsoft took RT-11, added things, cut things, and it was MS-DOS, and they, of course, stored things our way. So the world was divided between all the IBM machines versus IBM PCs and us. That means we're in a majority, of course, because of the number of PCs. The workstation people, either to be contrary or because they picked the wrong chip, started to do it the other way. And being nasty and dishonest, that's our point of view. They start telling all the customers digital is wrong because digital is a little and all of us are big. And it wasn't valid. Oh, maybe it was partly valid because they did their software, so you couldn't do it our way, either by accident or maliciousness. And it wouldn't have made any difference. They were wrong, you make an issue of it. But with this new initiative and the way the world is going, PCs and workstations become one. One is an Intel chip, and in the ACE business, the workstations have a MIPS chip. But they work on the same problem and use the same software. The MIPS workstation will work all the MS-DOS software. And both will use the same Unix software. It becomes very handy if they store their data the same way. They use it back and forth interchangeably, same data, two kinds of machines. So it was clear that this initiative, clear after Stryker told them that they had to do the endings our way. Now that leaves us in a very interesting position. The majority of the world is our way, and those other three software people are on the wrong side. IBM, Sun, and Hewlett Packard. That is important, partly because they had become a pain in the neck to our salespeople, and partly because we're really right in saying when you put them all together, you want to do the storage the same way. Now, this is a magnificent strategy. Absolutely beautiful. We don't brag about it publicly. The press thought it was Compaq's idea. They're the biggest part of the problem. They didn't know what software was. They never saw software. All they ever made was equipment. And we did it. We don't want to brag too much because we end up with a big advantage. It looked like we rigged it for our advantage. So we quietly don't take credit. But I'm telling you, it was magnificent. It also identifies our problem very clearly. Now we have laid it out. So there are 20, soon 30 people making exactly the same two computers. One based on Intel and one based on the MIPS.